Chapter 3. That he would fight the enemy in that situation. The same evening the Lord Fairfax, with a strong party of 1,000 horse, came to Lexton, at 2 small miles distance, expecting the rest of his army there the same night. The Lord Goring brought in prisoners the same day, Sir William Masham, and several other gentlemen of the county, who were secured under a strong guard, which the Parliament hearing, ordered 20 prisoners of the royal party to be singled out, declaring that they should be used in the same manner as the Lord Goring used Sir William Masham, and the gentlemen prisoners with him. On the 13th, early in the morning, our spies brought intelligence that the Lord Fairfax, all his forces being come up to him, was making dispositions for a march, resolving to attack the royalists in their camp. Upon which, the Lord Goring drew all his forces together, resolving to fight. The engineers had offered the night before to entrench his camp, and to draw a line round it in one night's time, but his lordship declined it, and now there was no time for it. Whereupon the general, Lord Goring, drew up his army in order of battle on both sides the road, the horse in the open fields on the wings. The foot were drawn up, one regiment in the road, one regiment on each side, and two regiments for reserve in the suburb, just at the entrance of the town, with a regiment of volunteers advanced as a forlorn hope, and a regiment of horse at the head gate, ready to support the reserve, as occasion should require. About 9 in the morning we heard the enemy's drums beat a march, and in half an hour more their first troops appeared on the higher grounds towards Lexton. Immediately the cannon from St. Mary's fired upon them, and put some troops of horse into confusion, doing great execution, which, they not being able to shun it, made them quicken their pace, fall on, when our cannon were obliged to cease firing, lest we should hurt our own troops as well as the enemy. Soon after, their foot appeared, and our cannon saluted them in like manner, and killed them a great many men. Their first line of foot was led up by Colonel Barkstead, and consisted of 3 regiments of foot, making about 1,700 men, and these charged our regiment in the lane, commanded by Sir George Lysall and Sir William Campion. They fell on with great fury, and were received with as much gallantry, and 3 times repulsed. Nor could they break in here, though the Lord Fairfax sent fresh men to support them, till the Royalists' horse, oppressed with numbers on the left, were obliged to retire, and at last to come full gallop into the street, and so on into the town. Nay, still the foot stood firm, and the volunteers, being all gentlemen, kept their ground with the greatest resolution. But the left wing being routed, as above, Sir William Campion was obliged to make a front to the left, and lining the hedge with his musketeers, made a stand with a body of pikes against the enemy's horse, and prevented them entering the lane. Here that gallant gentleman was killed with a carabin shot, and after a very gallant resistance, the horse on the right being also overpowered, the word was given to retreat, which, however, was done in such good order, the regiments of reserve standing drawn up at the end of the street, ready to receive the enemy's horse upon the points of their pikes, that the royal troops came on in the openings between the regiments, and entered the town with very little loss, and in very good order. By this, however, those regiments of reserve were brought at last, to sustain the efforts of the enemy's whole army, till being overpowered by numbers they were put into disorder, and forced to get into the town in the best manner they could, by which means near 200 men were killed or made prisoners. Encouraged by this success the enemy pushed on, supposing they should enter the town pell-mell with the rest. Nor did the royalists hinder them, but let good part of Barkstead's own regiment enter the head gate, but then sallying from St. Mary's with a choice body of foot on their left, and the horse rallying in the high street, and charging them again in the front, they were driven back quite into the street of the suburb, and most of those that had so rashly entered were cut in pieces. Thus they were repulsed at the south entrance into the town. And though they attempted to storm three times after that with great resolution, yet they were as often beaten back, and that with great havoc of their men. And the cannon from the fort all the while did execution upon those who stood drawn up to support them, so that at last, seeing no good to be done, they retreated, having small joy of their pretended victory. They lost in this action Colonel Needham, who commanded a regiment called the Tower Guards, and who fought very desperately, Captain Cox, an old experienced horse officer, and several other officers of note, with a great many private men, though, as they had the field, they concealed their number, giving out that they lost but 100, when we were assured they lost near 1,000 men besides the wounded. They took some of our men prisoners, occasioned by the regiment of Colonel Farr, and two more sustaining the shock of their whole army, to secure the retreat of the main body, as above. The 14th, the Lord Fairfax, finding he was not able to carry the town by storm, without the formality of a siege, took his headquarters at Lexton, and sent to London, and to Suffolk for more forces. Also he ordered the trained bands to be raised and posted on the roads to prevent succors. Notwithstanding which, divers gentlemen, with some assistance of men and arms, found means to get into the town. The very same night they began to break ground, and particularly to raise a fort between Colchester and Lexton, to cover the general's quarter from the sallies from the town. For the Royalists, having a good body of horse, gave them no rest, but scoured the fields every day, and falling all that were found straggling from their posts, and by this means, killed a great many. The 17th, Sir Charles Lucas, having been out with 1,200 horse, and detaching parties toward the seaside, and towards Harwich, they brought in a very great quantity of provisions, and abundance of sheep and black cattle sufficient for the supply of the town for a considerable time, and had not the Suffolk forces advanced over Cattaway Bridge to prevent it, a larger supply had been brought in that way, for now it appeared plainly that the Lord Fairfax, finding the garrison strong and resolute, and that he was not in a condition to reduce them by force, at least without the loss of much blood, had resolved to turn his siege into a blockade, and reduce them by hunger, their troops being also wanted to oppose several other parties, who had, in several parts of the kingdom, taken arms for the king's cause. The same day General Fairfax sent in a trumpet to propose exchanging prisoners, which the Lord Goring rejected, expecting a reinforcement of troops, which were actually coming to him, and were to be at Linton in Cambridgeshire as the next day. The same day two ships brought in a quantity of corn and provisions, and 56 men from the shore of Kent with several gentlemen, who all landed, and came up to the town, and the greatest part of the corn was with the utmost application unloaded the same night into some hoys, which brought it up to the Hythe, being apprehensive of the Parliament's ships which lay at Harwich, who having intelligence of the said ships, came the next day into the mouth of the river, and took the said two ships, and what corn was left in them. The besieged sent out a party to help the ships, but having no boats they could not assist them. 18th. Sir Charles Lucas sent an answer about exchange of prisoners, accepting the conditions offered, but the Parliament's general returned that he would not treat with Sir Charles, for that he, Sir Charles, being his prisoner upon his parole of honor, and having appeared in arms contrary to the rules of war, had forfeited his honor and faith, and was not capable of command or trust in martial affairs. To this Sir Charles sent back an answer, and his excuse for his breach of his parole, but it was not accepted, nor would the Lord Fairfax enter upon any treaty with him. Upon this second message Sir William Masham, and the Parliament Committee and other gentlemen, who were prisoners in the town, sent a message in writing under their hands to the Lord Fairfax, entreating him to enter into a treaty for peace, but the Lord Fairfax returned, he could take no notice of their request, as supposing it forced from them under restraint, but that if the Lord Goring desired peace, He might write to the Parliament, and he would cause his messenger to have a safe conduct to carry his letter. There was a paper sent enclosed in this paper, signed Capel, Norwich, Charles Lucas, but to that the general would return no answer, because it was signed by Sir Charles for the reasons above. All this while the Lord Goring, finding the enemy strengthening themselves, gave order for fortifying the town, and drawing lines in several places to secure the entrance, as particularly without the East Bridge, and without the North Gate and Bridge, and to plant more cannon upon the works, to which end some great guns were brought in from some ships at Wivento. The same day, our men sallied out in three places, and attacked the besiegers, first at their port, called Essex, then at their new works, on the south of the town. A third party sallying at the East Bridge, brought in some booty from the Suffolk troops, having killed several of their stragglers on the Harwich Road. They also took a lieutenant of horse prisoner, and brought him into the town. 19th. This day we had the unwelcome news, that our friends at Linton, were defeated by the enemy, and Major Musham, a loyal gentleman, killed. The same night, our men gave the enemy alarm at their New Essex fort, and thereby drew them out, as if they would fight, till they brought them within reach of the cannon of St. Mary's, and then our men retiring, the great guns let fly among them, and made them run. Our men shouted after them. Several of them were killed on this occasion, one shot having killed three horsemen in our fight. 20th. We now found the enemy, in order to a perfect blockade, resolved to draw a line of circumvallation round the town, having received a train of 40 pieces of heavy cannon from the Tower of London. This day the Parliament sent a messenger to their prisoners, to know how they fared, and how they were used, who returned word, that they fared indifferent well, and were very civilly used, but that provisions were scarce, and therefore dear. This day a party of horse, with 300 foot, sallied out, and marched as far as the fort on the Isle of Mercy, which they made a show of attacking, to keep in the garrison. Meanwhile the rest took a good number of cattle from the country, which they brought safe into the town, with 5 wagons laden with corn. This was the last they could bring in that way, the lines being soon finished on that side. This day the Lord Fairfax sent in a trumpet to the Earl of Norwich and the Lord Goring, offering honorable conditions to them all, allowing all the gentlemen their lives and arms, exemption from plunder, and passes, if they desired to go beyond sea, and all the private men pardon, and leave to go peaceably to their own dwellings. But the Lord Goring, and the rest of the gentlemen rejected it, and laughed at them, upon which the Lord Fairfax made proclamation, that his men should give the private soldiers in Colchester free leave to pass through their camp, and go where they pleased without molestation, only leaving their arms, but that the gentlemen should have no quarter. This was a great loss to the Royalists. For now the men, foreseeing the great hardships they were like to suffer, began to slip away, and the Lord Goring was obliged to forbid any to desert on pain of present death, and to keep parties of horse continually patrolling to prevent them, notwithstanding which many got away. 21st. The town desired the Lord Goring to give them leave to send a message to Lord Fairfax, to desire they might have liberty to carry on their trade, and sell their bays and says, which Lord Goring granted. But the enemy's general returned, that they should have considered that, before they let the Royalists into the town, that to desire a free trade from a town besieged was never heard of, or at least, was such a motion, as was never yet granted. That, however, he would give the bay makers leave to bring their bays and says, and other goods, once a week, or oftener, if they desire it, to Lexton Heath, where they should have a free market, and might sell them, or carry them back again, if not sold, as they found occasion. 22nd. The besieged sallied out in the night with a strong party, and disturbed the enemy in their works, and partly ruined one of their forts, called Ewer's Fort, where the besiegers were laying a bridge over the River Colne. Also they sallied again at East Bridge, and faced the Suffolk troops, who were now declared enemies. These brought in 56 good bullocks, and some cows, and they took and killed several of the enemy. 23rd. The besiegers began to fire with their cannon from Essex Fort, and from Barkstead's fort, which was built upon the Malden Road. And finding that the besieged had a party in Sir Arbottle Grimston's house, called the Friary, they fired at it with their cannon, and battered it almost down, and then the soldiers set it on fire. This day upon the townsman's treaty for the freedom of the bay trade, the Lord Fairfax sent a second offer of conditions to the besieged, being the same as before, only excepting Lord Goring, Lord Capel, Sir George Lysell, and Sir Charles Lucas. This day we had news in the town, that the Suffolk forces were advanced to assist the besiegers, and that they began a fort called Fort Suffolk, on the north side of the town, to shut up the Suffolk road towards Stratford. This day the besieged sallied out at North Bridge, attacked the outguards of the Suffolk men on Mile End Heath, and drove them into their fort in the woods. This day the Lord Fairfax sent a trumpet, complaining of chewed and poisoned bullets being shot from the town, and threatening to give no quarter, if that practice was allowed. But Lord Goring returned answer, with a protestation, that no such thing was done by his order or consent. 24th. They fired hard from their cannon against St. Mary's steeple, on which was planted a large culverin, which annoyed them even in the general's headquarters at Lexton. One of the best gunners the garrison had, was killed with a cannon bullet. This night the besieged sallied towards Audley, on the Suffolk road, and brought in some cattle. 25th. Lord Capel sent a trumpet to the Parliament General, but the rogue ran away, and came not back, nor sent any answer. Whether they received his message or not, was not known. 26th. This day having finished their new bridge, a party of their troops passed that bridge, and took post on the hill over against Mile End Church, where they built a fort, called Fothergill's Fort, and another on the east side of the road, called Rainsborough's Fort, so that the town was entirely shut in, on that side, and the Royalists had no place free, but over East Bridge, which was afterwards cut off by the enemies bringing their line from the Hythe within the river to the stone causeway leading to the East Bridge. July 1st. From the 26th to the 1st, the besiegers continued finishing their works, and by the 2nd the whole town was shut in. At which the besiegers gave a general salvo from their cannon at all their forts, but the besieged gave them a return, for they sallied out in the night, attacked Barkstead's fort, scarce finished, with such fury, that they twice entered the work sword in hand, killed most part of the defendants, and spoiled part of the forts cast up, but fresh forces coming up, they retired with little loss, bringing 8 prisoners, and having slain, as they reported, above 100. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.